Hey, this is Pigeon from the Long Beach Banshees.
And this is Bucket from the Hermosa Hit Girls.
And we skate for Beach City's Roller Derby, and you guys are listening to...
The Walter and Fawn Show.
Woo!
Hey man, pilot number 30.
Can you believe that? 30?
Yeah.
We're almost a third of our contract.
We might catch up to our age pretty soon.
That is true. That's
hopefully
scary.
My liver doesn't give up before that.
Well, yeah. Let's hope not. How are you?
Good, man. Actually just trying to recover from hangover from last night.
Last night already, man? Yeah. You couldn't wait till like tomorrow after the show?
Nope.
That's all right. Well, you know what? I really want to talk really quick about what an incredible show last week, right?
It was fun.
Gone to the
awesome.
Getaways, Drew. It was a
good time.
It was good times. But we even have a better show lined up today because we're on land, by the way. Like my feet, they're solid on the ground. We are on 4th Street at Moxie Skate Shop here in Long Beach with Shauna Pigeon. No, it's
Shayna.
I'm sorry. Shayna. But that's okay. How would you like to be called? Shayna?
Shayna.
All right. Yeah. How many people call you Shauna?
Half a million.
Well,
I'll just call you Pigeon. I can't mess that one up.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, if Bird comes out of me, then just throw a skate at me. But we're going to go with Pigeon. But it's awesome. You have an incredible shop. Thanks for coming out today.
For sure.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for opening the door. Awesome.
Yeah. You know what? I want to start the show right away. You know what? I was watching a video. Do you remember Elise Escobar? She is one of the original LA podcasters, and she was one of the first to have a podcast about yoga. Do you remember her?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on a video she posted, she was like, last week was Happy Podcasters Day, or last week was Podcasters Day. And I was like, dude, there's already a Podcasters Day? I thought we created it because we couldn't find one, remember?
Yeah.
So I looked back at our old shows, and I found September 23rd was the show we posted where we said, because there isn't a Podcasters Day, this is the day. Remember we did that?
Yeah.
It and she said the week before, and I don't know how long that video has been posted. I imagine it hasn't been posted for a long time. So maybe it's close.
Maybe
she's referring about us.
Maybe.
Oh my gosh.
We're trending or something.
People listen. Oh my gosh.
Awesome.
I think you need more than like two listeners to trend though. So, I mean, that's just her. Well, she has two kids.
Hey.
We are trending.
We're trending.
We are
people.
Trending. Yes. Well, nonetheless, this is the second annual Podcasters Day for our show anyway,
yes.
Right? So I remember that was fantastic, Mellow Funk Tron Friday the 13th episode. Remember that?
Yeah.
I barely remember that I can say that. Pigeon.
Yo.
How long has this been shop? How long has this shop been gone?
The shop's been here for about 5 years, but I've only owned it for one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, happy 1 year anniversary to you too. What month did this open? Or what month did you take ownership in?
It's about 30 days from today, so...
Awesome.
It's like November 1st.
October's awesome month.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love October.
I love it because the heat's supposed to go down. Like, I'm tired of freaking sweating from places. I like between toes, sweat, back of the ears, just random sweat places. I'm over it. I'm over it. But we got a cool show lined up. Fonz, what's up?
What's up, man? It's October. It's my favorite month. Hopefully it cools down a little bit, you know?
No, it will.
You got me here on 4th Street. You've been talking about this street forever and all the cool shops. And now I'm doing a show in a shop. This is amazing, dude. This is awesome.
I know.
Just didn't tell me about it. You brought me in a shop and we're recording.
That's how I do.
Thank you.
Pigeon, tell us a little bit about 4th Street.
4th Street is kind of like a little subculture inside of the city of Long Beach. It's full of independent stores, over 40 independent small businesses, restaurants, clothing shops. roller skate shops. There's skateboard shops and a lot of thrift stores, too. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a movie theater, right?
Yeah, there's an art theater. We've got coffee shops and a couple of gyms, some like alternative gyms, if you know what I'm saying.
I saw that. There's like a vibration gym, right? Yeah. It's like it's not vibration like all Marky Mark songs, right? Like good vibration. It's like a for real vibration. Like
yeah.
You stand on a plate and then it shakes.
Oh, like the old school ones where you shake?
No, but you stand on it. It's not like a belt. It's oh, like okay. You stand on it. Oh, you could wear a belt, I guess. I don't
think
know.
It's like spiritual shaking the fat off you or something.
What, spiritual shaking?
I don't know.
God bless. Let there be weight loss. You know what? There's a fantastic Mexican joint down the street too. Mm-hmm. Lola's.
Yep.
And there's a fantastic skate shop. We're here at Moxie on 4th Street. This is pretty cool. Is this the only skate shop around?
Right now it's the only roller skate shop in Long Beach. Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, there's other ones like in downtown LA and such, but this is it.
That's not
Long
the
Beach.
Important one.
Yeah, you can't. You can't take the blue line to those ones. Oh, maybe you can, but you can definitely take the blue line here to this one. That's cool. You know what, Fonz? I have a couple questions to ask you that we didn't get to talk about, and I really want to ask you because I know you, and I think a lot of cool conversations that we have are always off air, so I'd like to bring some conversation in on air, right?
Yeah.
And you guys feel free to chime in. Oh, and by the way, where are my effing manners?
Right?
The taste, the manners of this show, Bucket. Who do we have? Who else are we here? Who did you bring, Pigeon? Who's hanging with us?
Oh, my friend Bucket.
Yes.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. Fun.
You feeling good?
I'm great, yeah. Bucket, what number do you wear? You're part of the team too, right?
Yes, yeah. I am. I play for Beach Cities.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. How long have you been playing?
I've been with Beach Cities basically a year now. I've been playing roller derby for 2 years.
Oh, sweet. What number do you wear?
I am fourth wave.
Fourth wave. Oh.
All righty. What? How did you guys meet?
Roller derby.
Yep.
Where is this? Where do you guys skate or practice and actually?
So we compete in a hockey arena in Torrance, which is quite literally the closest arena within like economical reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we practice in the harbor at the Longshoremen.
Oh, you
actually
do?
I'm not going to go any more details. I don't want you guys creeping up at my practice. But we practice in the LA Harbor.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. So there's life in the LA Harbor.
Yeah. And fires and stuff.
Exactly. Fonz, I wanted to ask you a quick question. Getting back to our conversation was all right. You know what? The best way we had breakfast, we had Mexican food and beer, right?
Yeah.
And so what I was trying to think about was I've been trying to get rid of soda. I've been trying to not drink Coke. And I love Coke with Mexican food, but I also love beer with Mexican food. Do you like Mexican food?
Oh, yeah.
Do you drink it with beer or soda or water? What do you drink?
I'm a water person.
You're a water person?
Yeah.
Okay. I love to be a water person, but I drink it with like, I just have to have like a burrito with a Coke. So, but we had beer with it and I loved it. And I was like, I know I loved it. I love it. So I wanted to ask you a question, Fonz.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Mexican food with the best tasting soda you can think of or the worst tasting beer that you can think of?
I would have to say the worst tasting beer.
The worst? Okay.
Yeah.
And now with that being said, what is the worst tasting beer you can think of?
Tecate Light.
So you already know.
Yeah.
So you think you can stomach Mexican food with it, they got the light.
Yeah. You know when you eat like really hot Mexican food and your mouth is burning?
Yes.
So then you drink the beer or the water to like cool yourself down?
Yeah.
Well, I do that with the other way around. I drink the tecate and then I eat the food so I won't have to taste the beer.
If that's what, like, if you happen to go to a party or a barbecue, like, shit, it's backwards day to day.
Yeah. I was just going to take a drink and then eat the burrito, you know?
yeah, I got
to cleanse my mouth from the nasty-ass beer.
Right. Okay, I have one more question for you. That's good. All right, and then you can answer this too, Pigeon. I really want both of your opinions on this. All right, so we went to this burger joint, Grill 'Em All, and I had this burger. It was like a bacon, onion, burger, but the buns were grilled cheese sandwiches, one on the top, one on the bottom.
Yeah.
It was incredible, right? And so I started thinking, I'm like, shit, man, if I eat like this every day, I'll probably have a heart attack. So it got me thinking, I wanted to find out, and this is cool that you're here because you could chime in, but we'll start with you, Fonz. if you knew that there was something you really, really loved, like a bacon burger with made out of grilled cheese sandwiches, but you knew that after 100, if you ate 100 of them in your lifetime, through your life,
yeah,
it would kill you. Like, you would die the next day. But there is no evidence whatsoever that says the 99th one will kill you. Like, you can go all the way, but the 100th, you know it will kill you. Somewhere along the line, you would say, well, I'm getting close. That means I might die. What kind of guy are you? Are you the kind of guy that, well, how many of those would you eat until you would say, okay, I have to stop?
Well, I heard like somebody talk about that before. This guy goes to the doctor, and the doctor tells him, oh, you know what? You got to stop eating bacon because bacon's going to kill you.
Yeah.
He goes, well, and you'll live 35 more years. He goes, but that's 35 more years without bacon. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Right?
It's fucking hell. That's what you call hell. Yeah, that's what you call hell, right?
So I would have to like just eat whenever I feel like it. And
but
just,
but I'm saying, if you had to pick a number, where do you know you would stop?
Oh, but I don't know if 99 is going to kill me.
You don't know, but you know 100 will.
100 will kill me, but I don't know if 99 will.
99, there's no evidence.
Probably like 75.
So you're a 75 guy?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. In 75. My head, I was thinking you're like a 50, like you would stop like middle ground.
Yeah.
Oh, you're bold. You're bold.
75 would be, yeah.
Pigeon, what about you?
I'd say like 25.
You would stop at 25?
Yeah.
Oh, you are a health freak.
I'm just smart, you know.
Well, yeah. Daddy didn't raise no fool.
But can you imagine? Can you imagine how good the last like 25 would be after 50?
Oh.
How good they would taste because you're taking that risk and you're like you're almost borderline. You might die, so you're like, oh man, it's like when you do really bad things and get away with it,
like sex without a condom, and then like you're cool, and then you're like, oh my god, yes.
I'm not pregnant, yes, you know, or whatever it may be, you know. It's just, at that moment, it's amazing, but then afterwards, you're like, fuck.
I was curious. I was wondering what number you would say. And you're 25. I wasn't expecting a 25. Yeah. That's cool. I think I would be like, I'm kind of a wuss where like I would definitely be at 50 and I would say I can keep going, but I think I'd get scared. I think I would stop at 60.
At 60?
I think I would stop at 60.
Yeah. That's a good number.
No, those are my questions. See, that was good. We usually are freaking hammered after the show and then we're talking about stuff. We're like, why aren't we recording stuff?
It's like stuff that you think about when you're in the restroom. Like, oh, I got to ask that question. But you have nowhere to write it down.
Man,
or like you come up with really good stuff in the restroom when you're like sitting in the toilet or something. You know, it's like, oh, man.
I've been thinking of putting a chalkboard in the toilet like next to it. So when I think of something, I can just scribe it down. And I'd be like, dude, I'd be a millionaire
by
now.
I'm sure Pigeon has a couple extra chalkboards, right?
Oh, yeah. Whiteboards.
Whiteboards.
Get with the times.
Dry eraser. Oh, my gosh.
Overhead projectors.
Well, you know what, Moxie, on 4th Street in Long Beach, we're hanging out with Pigeon. You are the founder of Beach City's Roller Derby League, and I think it's just more than a league. It's just kind of a way of life for a lot of people, and it's a lifestyle. Let me point the mic at that.
See, this is what happened. That's my teammate that just passed by right now, and she mooned us in the middle of this podcast. That was kind of podcast.
Well, I can tell you I got all the audio on the moon. It's a silent night. That's cool. That's rad. And that's the kind of crap I'm talking about with 4th Street. It's just really cool and everyone's good vibes around and the moon shows. The moon shows that it is.
The moon shows up.
But Pigeon, man. Again, thanks for coming on. Beach City's Roller Derby. Please pronounce your name.
Shayna Meikle.
There it is. So when I asked you earlier pre-show on how to say your last name, I not only was off on your last name and your first name.
Yep.
But Pigeon. Pigeon is the name we know. And how did you get that name?
So when you join the roller derby world, you're allowed to choose your skate name. And I thought Pigeon was cool. You know, I wasn't really into the violent names that you might see. Or the puns or first name, last name. I just want it simple, cute, weird, and something that people will remember.
That's cool. I it does. It's very easy for.
And pigeons are cool. Don't deny it.
Hey, that's a corn roll. That's a corn roll Wallace call from Dave Chappelle's show. You know, a little bit about you. Oh my gosh. We are products of the Los Angeles Unified School District. You used to be a middle school teacher out in Los Angeles.
Yep. I went to school with LAUSD, and then after college, I was a teacher for LAUSD.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome. What made you switch gears and enter the world of roller derby?
Well, I played roller derby since college. And so I've been playing, you know, for a total now of 7 years. So by the time I entered the teaching world, I'd already been playing like 3-4 years. And I was kind of moving up in the ladder, becoming captain and then becoming a coach. And then in my first year of teaching in South Central Los Angeles to seventh graders, I started my own league. So it was kind of a very big year for me, my first year teaching and the founding of a league. And it was apparent in my second year of teaching that my derby and skate career was taking off. So I've been offered to purchase this skate shop, and I was offered paid coaching positions around the world and to skate on teams that travel to different countries to play. So, you know, I really love teaching and I love the kids out there, but it's a lot of work being a teacher. Oh man. And I would get so into their lives and just care a lot. And so it just seemed like, even though, you know, it's like running two businesses and traveling and this and that, it's still easier than teaching, because that's like the hardest job in the world. No lie.
My heart goes out to teachers. I mean, sometimes, especially LAUSD, you get kids about 40 a classroom sometimes.
42.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I had 9 classes a day. So that's a lot of kids to remember.
I always think doctors and teachers should be the highest paying job. That's what I think.
You know,
and maybe after that, podcasters. Sorry, Fonzo. Go ahead.
No worries. How do you remember all those names? I always was like amazed at my teachers remembering all my name, like my name, right? You know, like, damn. Like, do you like, how do you connect the names or that's just,
you know, I think when you're teaching, your brain is just like always working so hard that the connections like are on fire, you know, like you already have to do so much all the time that just adding one more task of learning, you know, like 300 kids' names, it's like, oh, that's easy compared to what else I got to do.
It's like the more you do, you know? The more you can do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
like cool. my brain was on a super mode.
Is there ever like a kid that you didn't remember, like, you know, like just that invisible kid, or you know, it's like
week
like,
15 of the semester, like, you're like, oh god, I just can't remember your name. I mean, you just sit in
or the like back. Like, you know, they always say, talk about like kids that fall through the cracks. Did any kids fall through the cracks with you? Or like, oh, he's like, oh shit, I never saw you before.
Well, you know, my first year of teaching, no, like I knew every kid. I knew what their fart smelled like I knew their favorite food, like I knew every kid real well, you know. But that was on the block system. I don't know if you guys are familiar. It's where, you know,
C-track.
Yeah.
C-track right here.
Yeah.
So you have half your classes one day, half the other, and you get more than an hour in each class. Well, the second year, they went to normal system, so I get only, you know, 49 minutes with 42 kids.
And then you have to take and roll.
Yeah. So that was a lot harder. You know, I feel like I wasn't able to, you know, get to know the students as well, get to recognize their faces as much, but I don't believe I let anyone slip. And you could ask my league mates. I'm on everyone's butt, like, yeah, definitely. And
now let's go back to the skating part. Injuries, any broken bones?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Do you have like a battle wound?
Yeah. You want to see? Want to see some scars and some bruises?
Yeah.
All right.
Like,
so
what happens and how?
Right here, I broke my leg. But okay.
Was
all
that
right.
The scar right there?
To be fair, I was on my roller skates and it was after a roller derby game, not during. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, then you have to prepare future roller derby participants about that there's dangers after.
Oh yeah. So the moral of the story is never get hammered after a derby game and have your skates on. And then play kickball in the parking lot at 2 a.m. Okay, don't do that.
Well, you know, they say nothing good happens after midnight. Well, nothing good at kickball happens after 1:30. That's I had heard around.
Yeah.
After the bell rings.
After the bell rings, yeah. You know what? You mentioned going out of the country with roller derby.
Yeah.
I saw on a post through, I think, GoFundMe, you're invited to compete in a roller derby event in Paris.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So we named ourselves Team Unicorn, and we were a mixture of skaters from Wisconsin, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, and we went over to Paris, and we played the Paris All-Stars. And
that's awesome.
Not like Paris, Las Vegas, like straight up across the Atlantic.
Yeah, Paris. Yeah, awesome. Paris, France. And you know, I think I lost the game because I think it was like that. It was one of those games where it was like the last couple minutes of the game, and we're like neck and neck, and I try to pull some like awesome move, like a stunt pretty much, you know, I try to jump over people, and I end up getting a penalty, and I had to go to the box. And so as the point scorer, I was just sitting in the box, and the other team racked up the points. And, but no, you know, no one cared. It was actually a really big thing for, apparently it was a big thing for France, because it was the first time any European team had ever beat a U.S. team. So you're welcome, Europe. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You know what? They gave us a French fries. We gave you a roller derby victory. There. We call
yeah,
it even.
There you go.
We call it even. We're good. That is incredible. You know, also, again, you're the founder of Beach City's Roller Derby. How the heck does that come about? Like, what is that process like?
Starting a roller derby league?
Yeah, that's not like a switch you flip. I mean, there has to be like enough is enough kind of thing. Like,
you know, I would never have been able to do it if I wasn't a teacher already. So being a teacher prepared me for the intense and enormous task of running a roller derby league.
Because you get like 42 seventh grade middle schoolers from South Central. Like, you're prepared to handle anything.
Oh, yeah. Some soccer moms and some...
You're ready to make the Forbes list, pretty much.
Wow, there we go.
That's awesome.
Okay, so what happened? So then you were a teacher, and then how did that come about?
Well, I was skating for a different league. It was called Long Beach Roller Derby. You might remember it. It was, I think it dissolved in 2012, but before that, we were in the Spruce Goose Dome near the Queen Mary. We had a bank track and all that stuff, but from what I understand, the Queen Mary raised their rent by over $100,000, forcing us to not have any venue to play in, and then thus just making the whole team collapse. I'm sure there's other little things that made the rest of it collapse, but it was pretty much done. And then I was like, dude, I could do it better myself. Let's go.
Yes.
You know, let's do this.
Wow.
And ever since I started, I'm always like, man, I could do it better. So I skated up in Santa Cruz when I was in college. I was up there for about three and a half years. And I was like, oh, I could do it better, even though it was awesome up there. And then I come down here and I'm like, oh, I could do it better. And then finally, like, I got the opportunity. It was just the right time. I was at the right place. You know, I've gained the right skills. I'm ready.
That's dope.
So when's the season, and like how long does it last?
So our season with Beach City's Roller Derby, it starts, we start training right after the new year. And then our games run from March to November.
Wow.
So I pretty much give the girls just the holidays off. You get 6 weeks, enjoy it, because when you come back, we're on three nights a week. Let's go.
And how do you pick like the people that are going to be on the team?
We have a really structured way of, first, our program starts with teaching people how to skate. And then you move up through levels. There's three levels that you move up through assessments, and then you get eligible to be put on a team. So.
And how many teams are there? Like
5 adult teams and 1 juniors team.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Start them young. Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. That's awesome.
What, tell our listeners, again, we're at Moxie on 4th Street here in Long Beach. Tell our listeners, what are the kind of products you sell in here?
Oh, at Moxie Roller Skate Shop, we sell roller skates, we sell bearings, we sell wheels, we sell accessories, clothing, socks, we sell safety gear, helmets, stickers, we do skate lessons out of the shop. We have used and new skates, all types of skates. So,
sweet. Yeah. And when you're busy, Bucket could just man the front. Woman the front.
Absolutely.
I saw that right now. I saw that. We're getting some traffic mid-show in here, and you're just kind of like...
All for Moxie. Anything for Moxie.
Yeah, you know, we're actually part of the Moxie skate team, which is like... It's a worldwide skate team sponsored by Moxie. So she's like my teammate in roller derby, and she's my teammate like via Moxie, because Moxie's a way of life, you know? It's not just a brand. So it's pretty cool.
And you know what? There's a subculture around, and very worldwide subculture. But I think we're coming to a place where we're going to have to take the sub part out of it, because it's growing, and it's growing rapidly.
Have you been to a roller derby
game? I have. I did in Salt Lake City. Okay. I did in Salt Lake City, and it was. Remember? Do you know that the skater guy Ono, Paul Ono?
Yeah.
When he competed in the 2000, whenever Salt Lake City hosted them, but the skate that ring, that yeah. skate, the speed skating one.
Yeah.
They literally put the bank, or it's the flat, the surface with bleachers on top of the ice. And it's like you go and you watch, and it was really cool. Me and my brother got kicked out.
Why?
Because there's like this track that it's like a straightaway. So after the match, we were running and trying to slide and see how far we could slide. And they're like, guys, out. We're like, man, we'll buy more beer. And they're like, out. You can't. Didn't you see the sign? Anyway, let's go to break.
Let's do it.
Fonz, we're back.
Yeah.
Show number 30.
Yeah, show number 30. What's up?
How you like the traffic here? Oh, you haven't seen it. Your back's against it. I mean.
Yeah, I can't see much right now.
Did someone mooned us? We got mooned.
Yeah, this is 4th Street. There's some random and some diverse people walking by. And I just hope we don't see someone's wang. Like, you know. That's all I'm hoping for.
No, all moon and no wang is what
yes,
you're saying.
Please.
All right.
No
all
wieners.
And it wasn't like a Mac Tonight moon, like a half. It was full. It was like.
A Mac Tonight.
It was like there was hamstring in that moon. Like you could see hamstring.
That's
but
awesome.
That's what you do.
That's 4th Street.
Welcome to 4th Street, Fonzo.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome.
The circus that is 4th Street. Pigeon, you having a good time?
Yep.
Yes, I'm glad you said yes because people will hear it. And then if you said no, then people will turn it off. So let's talk about Beach City's roller derby. For the most part, people remember roller derby from the 70s and the 80s. And they just there was this hate or freaking just animosity, and they wanted to crush the other competitor. But
it was on TV for a while, too.
Yeah,
I remember it on
yeah.
TV.
But
yeah.
it's been around for quite a long time, right? How long has roller derby been around?
You know, it actually, the game of roller derby started more in like the 30s, 40s. Before that, it was more of a race. And so this game developed from a race that started in the, you know, 10s and 20s. Of the 1900s. So, yeah, you know, roller skating, it's invented in America, and you can go and watch some Charlie Chaplin 1902 videos, and there's like, he's skating. It's like,
it's awesome.
America, pal.
Some metal wheels.
America. That
some
is
metal wheels.
Metal wheels, yep. Literally? It was like.
Well, I mean, there's metal wheels until, I mean, maybe the 50s, 60s. I don't know. I wasn't alive then. I don't
know. Oh, my ankle. Oh, my ankle.
Imagine the vibration on the bumps and stuff.
Right?
Man, that sucks.
Now it's different.
What are the rules of roller derby?
Roller derby is.
Pretend you're talking to like a listener who has no idea what roller derby is.
Oh, yeah. All right. So roller derby is played between two teams. And it's kind of like hockey or basketball where, like, a lineup goes out, right? So there'll be, like, a few people on the track and everyone else is sitting on the bench waiting cool. for their turn to go up. So
got it.
There's rounds, and these rounds are called jams. And so each jam has four blockers from each team and one jammer from each team. So essentially it's 5-on-5. One of the five is scoring the points, the jammers. So I know this is a lot to try to absorb, but four blockers from each team have to stay within 10 feet of each other. So if you imagine eight people, they're all blockers from two different teams. They're within 10 feet, which means they're close together, and we call that the pack. So there's a pack of blockers, four from each team. Okay, got it? Then there's one jammer from each team that has to start behind the pack. So they're separate. They're like not part of that group. And they wear a star on their helmet so you could tell that's them. And so these two jammers, one from each team, are essentially racing each other around the track, but they have to get through the pack of blockers. So...
or the pack of opposing blockers.
Yes, exactly. So say I'm a jammer, and so I'm going to try and get past the four blockers from the other team. Then I'm going to sprint around the track and do it again, and sprint around the track and do it again. So you try to get through as many times as possible within the two-minute period of that jam, and then a whole new lineup comes out. And the way you score points is that every blocker from the other team that I as a jammer pass, I get 1 point for. So I go through, I get 4 points. I go through again, I get 4 points. I go through again, maybe get past one person, time's up. That's 4, 4, and 1. So that's 9 points for my team.
Now, okay, so then if I'm a blocker from the opposing team, I have to shield you from passing.
Yeah,
me.
You want me to not pass your hips. Not at any cost, but using legal moves. Legal moves include, what is not legal is the use of your arms. So you're not allowed to grab or push. It's kind of like hockey where you have to use your body. So you do more of hip checks, body checks, shoulder checks, or you just stay in front of them and impede them, which tires people out. So, and we have, I don't know, like 9 referees, like with their whistles in their mouth, waiting to call you on any little thing that might be an illegal move. And then you go to the penalty box and you got to sit there for 30 seconds and then you come back out and try and, you know.
And the person scoring points, can they use their arms?
No. So no one's allowed to use their arms. Everyone has to use their torso. Okay. And you're actually not allowed to use your feet either. You have to use, you can't use anything from your upper knee down. So you can't, like, go and trip someone, okay. You know. And you can't use your head. Like, you can't, like, headbutt
but
someone.
But it happens.
Oh, yeah. Half the time. You know, actually, almost the whole time, it's just an accident. So if you go to a roller derby game and you see people getting sent to the penalty box, it's just because during gameplay, you know, someone hit you, and then maybe you went to go hit someone else, and you lost your balance, so you used your arm against them to balance yourself back up. But using your arm against someone else, it's a legal move. So.
Okay, I thought I saw a slingshot move. No?
Oh, whip.
You don't, so you do use your arms for a whip?
You can use your arms on your own team.
Oh, not
for,
against the
for assisting,
team.
But you can't use your arms to block anyone else from or anyone from another team.
Got it.
Right,
got
Bucket? It.
Yes. You can touch your teammates, but you can't really, with your arms, you can't touch the opposing teammates.
And you know, it sounds kind of like simple, but in reality, there are such complex strategies involved. Like what I like to think of roller derby is the game of 3 seconds. Every 3 seconds, your whole team is doing a whole nother strategy. Mm-hmm. So you're assessing and you have to work together to execute the same strategy. And that's very hard, which is why we practice 3 nights a week, you know?
Gotcha. Because sometimes you can't communicate, but you know each other's tendencies, and yep. Then that makes you yeah. even more effective.
My team knows I'm going to break away from the wall and try and go on my own, and then they're just like, come back here. I'm like, okay, I'm here.
Is there like illegal or what's the uniform like? The skates, are there like, you have to have a certain kind of wheels or?
Okay, well, you want to be wearing indoor wheels because you get to go fast and have more control. But there are outdoor wheels, which is something that is relatively new to the world, and it's so awesome. But there's no requirement for roller skate as long as it's an actual quad roller skate. You can't wear roller blades.
Okay.
Uniforms, there is no the only requirement with the uniform is that your number be 4 inches big. You don't need to have your name. You don't even need to be wearing shorts. Like, you could play in your thong. Like, as long as you have a number on your back that the referees... Oh, and on your arms. You need a number on your back and your arms so the referees can be like, hey, white, number one, go to the box. Mm. You know?
And are all the tracks the same size?
Yes.
They are?
It's standard.
What's the standard size?
It's about 90 feet long by 35 feet wide. So if you know speed skating at all, it's about half the size of a speed skating track.
What about the size of the team? How many members are on... on the squad?
Typically, you have 20 people on a team, but only 14 are rostered to play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you got 6 people who are, you know, rotating in.
And typical injuries?
Bruised knees, sprained ankles. What about you, Bucket?
I'm always cut on my knee.
You're cutting. Oh, yeah. So
you guys wear knee pads?
Yes. Knee pads, elbow pads, wrist guards, helmets, mouth guards.
Mouth guards,
I
too?
Mean, you know, yeah. You know, wow. Some people get concussions. That's actually a common injury. And that was my last injury in July. I wore an old helmet, which was a stupid idea, but I wanted to wear my white one because I wanted to match my uniform. Dumb. Should have wore my quality one. But I wore an old helmet, and I fell back and hit my head and got a concussion. I didn't feel it right away, which is the problem with roller derbies. You get up, you're like, oh, I'm fine, and then you go drink at the after party, and then the next night you're like, you can't even, like, stand like, up straight.
Yeah,
you're
like, this isn't a hangover. This might be an injury.
I'm spinning. But,
the welt on my head suggests it wasn't the whiskey.
Yeah. You know, some people have been moving to wearing hockey helmets, even though I don't know if it's proven to prevent injuries more than just wearing a goddamn nice new helmet, which is what I should have done.
Which you can get at Moxie.
At Moxie Shop, Roller Skate Shop. We have multi-impact helmets, so you can hit your head 5 times and it's still good.
Even the 6th time, too, I believe. Yep. You'll be good on the 6th time, too.
Yep.
Do you know what? Yeah, it's a rad shop. This is really cool. I'm having a good time, you?
Awesome, man. I know how to rollerblade. Is there a big difference from skating and rollerblading and ice skating?
Roller skating has more side-to-side stability, where rollerblading has more front-to-back stability. So your rollerblade wheels are, you know, they go out from before your toe and they stop behind your heel, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't fall forward or back easily, but it's kind of like the other way around with skates. Your stance is so wide, but you could fall forward or back.
And I push off the same way, or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just like ice skating, like cross-country skiing, roller skating.
And stopping is forward?
There's like 5 to 10 different ways to stop. So.
One of them is through your opponent.
Just smash them.
Going over the wall.
Just going over the wall. Smashing jumping over them, what you've been known to do.
Yeah.
Pigeon, tell us about the league. So how does that work? It's made up of a handful of teams, and then there's an all-star team, I believe. And then you said a juniors team. But if you can talk a little bit about the teams and then the all-star teams. What is that? Like, who do you guys compete against, or how does that work?
If you guys are familiar with the traditional Little League setup, right, you guys have home teams. So everyone in your league is split equally into 3, 4, 5 teams, right? We have 3. Our 3 home teams are the Long Beach Banshees, the Redondo Riots, and the Hermosa Hit Girls.
Do you belong to any of those?
Yeah, I skate for the Long Beach Banshees.
Got it. All right.
Bucket,
what about you?
Hermosa Hit Girls.
Oh.
The reigning champs.
Oh. Yep.
And future champs.
Oh. No. We'll see. Yeah, you know, we have a game November 8th. It's the championship. All 3 teams are tied for first. So we're doing a quick round robin next week at our practice. And then it's the, like, mega champs. Like, Hermosa Hit Girls, they're a really, really strong team. They won last year. And, you know, everyone thinks they're going to win this year. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Hey,
so come check it out November 8th.
Is that the next one?
Yeah, the next one's November.
Where's that? In Torrance?
Yeah, we play at Wilson Park Hockey Rink. That's at 2400 Jefferson Avenue in Torrance. If you check out our website, beachcitiesrollerderby.com, or Google Beach Cities Roller Derby or whatever, we have all the information there.
Now, from those 3 teams, you make an all-star team.
We actually make 2 all-star teams. So
an
we
A
make
and a B or
an
equally
A and
the same.
A B, like a varsity and a junior varsity. What? Totally.
All right.
And so, like, the home teams, we play each other. And the travel teams, we play other leagues. We travel to play them, and then they travel here to play us.
So. Got it. And so how far does that go? Is there regionals? Is there national? How does that work? Because, I mean, I imagine, like you mentioned earlier, that you even go, like, to France. So is there, like, a regional, national, international?
Yeah, you know, there is a ranking system for the WFTDA, which stands for Women's Flat Track Derby Association. And there's also a ranking for USARS, USARS, which is the USA Roller Sports Foundation. So you have to be a member of those associations to be ranked. And currently, we will not be a WFTDA ranked team. So we're kind of just doing this more for fun and community and athleticism than to get to, I guess, like status or ranking.
Okay, I have two questions. One, don't they also have apprentice leagues, though?
Apprentice is just like, it's like getting your probationary driver's license. Like, it's the year to 6 months before you're actually part of it. Every apprentice league, almost every apprentice league will become a ranking league.
Okay, so it's just kind of like, and that's something right now that just not
well,
in the
I
cards
mean,
for you.
The thing is with being part of an association is like that
is
the
fees.
Yes, fees. Sure, fees. But also just my kind of personality, I want to run my league the way I want to run it.
Hell yeah.
I don't want to have to follow a list of an association's rules. I don't want to have the rules. Okay. I don't like rules. I don't like my rules. So, you know, I don't want to be restricted to what I can and cannot do. I don't want to have to censor anything. I just want it to be organic and real based on what we need here in the Southern Los Angeles area, you know? Yeah. So, there is a local team that's part of that of the association. So if there are skaters who want to go on that route of being, the goal is to a competitive league, then there is somewhere for there to go. But we are more focused on healthy competition and having fun. So
you know what? Gosh, this just opens the doors with so many things I wanted to ask. But you mentioned athleticism. What's your background? Like, dude, to skate, like, were you, like, did you play sports? Did you dance? Were you, like, were you in a punk band where you had to run around the stage? Like, how does one, like, there has to be a background for someone to be that good, I imagine. What was yours?
I mean, okay, it all starts with good old DNA, all right? My genetics is just good for sports, okay? My muscles just developed super quick.
Now, did you play any before?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you play?
I played soccer and softball. I was varsity captain of both. And
at the same time, no. In the same day.
No, I got kicked off my soccer team, but we won't talk about that. But no, I also skateboarded. So growing up, like, I was a little skater punk kid, and so I was pretty good on balance. And then I was a lifeguard. So, you know, it just came so naturally to me, you know, like, I didn't really have to try, but that's not the case for everyone, you know. And our program caters to people, all sorts of people, people who are athletic already, who have already been part of a team, people who have never, ever, ever played on a team, whether it was individual team or a team sport or not, or sports in general,
right,
is what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, we've got people who've never played a sport who are now on the all-star team.
Wow.
So,
you know, and Fonz, I know you got questions. I got one more. Let me squeeze one more in. And that, I think that's incredible because I saw an interview with you of you on KTLA, the morning news show.
Yeah.
And it was out in June earlier this year. And literally on it, you had people that were just learning how to skate. So they were on the side learning how to skate. So obviously, all people welcome.
We call them fresh meat.
Yeah, that's right. You did say that, fresh meat. But you know, you mentioned also a healthy competition and a community involved way of life. And you've done a lot of, from what I've seen, community involvement, the neighborhood cleanups, Walk for the Cure, the Relay for Life, even fed the homeless.
Yep.
Like, who's in charge of that? How does that get manifested?
Well, I wrote it into our mission statement because this is something that was a part of my first league up when I was in college in Santa Cruz.
That is rad. That is what got my attention and wanted to reach out and communicate with you.
Yeah, you know, and when I moved here to LA I joined the team here, even all the local teams, none of them really did that much for their community. And if you have, you know, 50 to 100 people, how can you not do something? You know, you're
exactly.
So powerful. So I took the ethics of the Santa Cruz Derby Girls of giving back, and I made it actually a really big part. We have a whole committee called Community First, and their job is to every month provide a volunteer opportunity for our members to give back to the community, and we feature a different charity at each one of our bouts. So
is there a newsletter or a sign up for that? I'd like for us to get that anyway, or any emails regarding that. I think that's something that we should definitely either stay on the show or be a part of.
Yeah.
So Beach City's Roller Derby is hosting a skate-a-thon, and the idea behind the skate-a-thon is that we're raising money for a good cause. Last year we gave it to, you know, like a big organization, but this year we're giving it to local people. And October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so we have two recipients, one's from San Pedro, one's from Hermosa Beach, who we're going to be giving portion of the money that we raise to, because, you know, you just find out you have breast cancer, you got to go through the surgery, the radiation, the chemo, you got to take time off work, all that. So we're hoping
to raise.
And even
those who have insurance, it doesn't cover 100%.
Exactly. So we're hoping to raise at least over $1,000 for each of these women who are victims of this.
I think that's incredible. So you cut the middleman out.
Yeah.
The woman out.
Yeah, because I, you know, I'm just that type of person, man. I don't like following big organizations. I just want to do it myself. So I just hit these, like, we actually had like a whole nominee process and these girls were voted. And so, you know, I called them and it was just so nice for them to just feel the love that they need right now. They need that support.
Well, from the league, from this, I'm just going to go out and make I have a sneaking suspicion that you are probably a DIY kind of gal. Do it yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And with the league and all these teams, what type of people come, like what type of women from their backgrounds? I'm sure it's like all over the place, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like their work and how they got there. I mean, there must be some amazing stories of the teamwork and just what they do for a living. And then they're like, then you see them on the track kicking ass, right?
Yep.
Like what type of women have you played with or on the team now?
I've definitely had teammates who were similar to me, like had experience playing sports. But most of my teammates are, you know, like the kids who played Dungeons and Dragons in high school, or you know, like the woman who was so shy that, like, you know, she doesn't really have many friends. But when she's on the track, you're like, she yells so loud, you know?
She's a beast.
We have women who, you know, have kids and want to do something for themselves. So this is their time for them. And we have people who are trying to find who they are and come to Derby and really find that support group and whatnot. What do you think, Bucket?
I read somewhere that people find Derby at a time in their life that they're looking for something new and trying to rediscover themselves. And it, for me personally, it's totally true. I moved to California. I had no friends for 6 months. I joined Derby and my life changed.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
You know, speaking, just you guys talking about that and the different kind of personalities that join Derby, Pigeon, Bucket, and personality has a lot to do with it. What are some of the creative, the ones that stand out, the more creative aliases you have kind of kind
well,
of
the girl across? The girl who mooned us a few minutes ago, her name's Bloth Lobster.
I love it.
And one of our coaches' names is Anita Nuther. She sells wine. So,
know.
Yeah, exactly.
And
shocking. What's next? What's on the calendar? You mentioned the two events, but you can say them again. But what's next moving on through the end of the year? And even in 2015, what's next? And how do you see the league progressing?
So we have an event in October, the Skate-a-thon, which is raising money for local breast cancer victims. And then in November 8th, is our championship bout.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's cool because everyone in the league is very passionate about their home team. And it's funny because the way that I set up the home teams is that I put best friends on opposing teams.
Hence what's going on right now.
Yeah, Bucket is on a different team than me. You know, I'm not saying that the people on my team aren't my good friends, because everyone in the league, we're all really good friends.
They become your best friend.
Yeah, they cool. totally become your cool. best friends. But I did it on purpose because it's healthy competition. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a really big game. We're really excited. And
where is it?
Yeah, it's at Wilson Park in Torrance.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you can find it on our website, beachcitiesrollerderby.com.
Sweet.
And then next season, we have pretty packed. We spend the first half of our season focusing on our travel teams. And then the second half, starting in the summer, all the way through the holiday, well, till just about the holidays, we focus on the home teams. And then we have a championship at the end of every year.
Is there room for expansion? Would you be if it draws because now that you're on this show, there's going to be hordes of people coming in, like, should that happen regardless of because of our show or not, but like, would you be, is that something that you're open to opening expanding to another
team?
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to, start a men's team, and we have about 6 guys right now, and we are, you know, the structure of the league is, it has enough resources to have a 4th home team and even a 3rd travel team, but also we're considering starting a different type of all-star team so that we can go to USARS Nationals next year, so...
USARS, that's the other association.
Yeah,
right?
So okay. We would become part of the other association, but they're so new and, like, excuse me for saying this, but they're so desperate for leagues to play in their rule set so they could have enough leagues to rank that I could see Beach Cities being, like, the Los Angeles USARS team.
Heck yeah.
Because there's, like, one from Chicago, there's one from Seattle,
dude,
there's
oh
one from
God. Fonzo, you
Pennsylvania.
Hear this. Yeah, you hear this all the time from my rant. It's like, yeah, we're in Long Beach, and I see a lot of, like, and if you guys are Angel fans with regard to baseball,
nope.
But it's like nope. This is still Los Angeles County.
Hey, Los Doyers all
Los
the way.
Los Doyers all the way. I hope they won. We left mid-game. Well, I hope they won. Yeah. But here, that's the thing. It's like, yes, Long Beach, we have our own personality. We are very, you're talking about independent, DIY. We seem removed from Los Angeles, and we kind of like that way. We kind of like being the beach with no waves. We kind of be sleepy. We'll paddleboard instead of surf. But you know what? We fucking drink our whiskey, if not harder, and this is our personality that we have. But we are still part of the fabric of L.A. Yep. County, so yep. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, like, I live in Long Beach now and on the shop here, but I'm from the South Bay, so... I'm from, like, the harbor area, you know?
L.A.
And that's the L.A. Harbor. Like, that's my stomping grounds, okay? And I grew up in a Dodger home, season tickets every year.
Yes!
So I've got the Los Angeles pride.
Got you. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's like I walk around the streets here, and maybe not so much on 4th, but when I'm walking down on 2nd Street, I, like, there's O.C. Weeklies there. And I'm like, wait, the O.C. What?
That's the thing about Long Beach. It's so close to O.C. that we're getting. I mean, it's good for me because the Orange County moms and their daughters come here.
Oh, for sure.
And they buy their skates and stuff. Yeah. But, you know,
and I'm not sorry. I love the O.C. And I'm not trying to say, like, dude, F the O.C. I'm trying to say that this is still L.A. County. You know what I mean? This is, like, L.A. County. Right, wait, Fonz, back me up on this.
Hey, I got you, man. I like LA, but I work in OC. So,
you do work, you know,
Jesus.
No, but you're right, and that's cool. And I think that if you can go in as a Los Angeles affiliate, I think you legitimately will be representing the city, and that's
yeah.
Fine.
The thing is you could have one club per region, so it would be it. If I were to make a team,
oh,
it's the Los Angeles
yeah.
team, and you know what our colors would be?
Yes. Is it any colors that I'm wearing
blue.
Right now? Yes.
Dodger blue. What's
that's
up?
Awesome.
Maybe the LA Dodgers. What's up?
Oh,
copyright.
It got created. The Dodge. The Dodgers, because you got to move around, right? The Dodgers.
Yeah. Yes. This is just, you know.
And then now my name is now subscribed in the bottom because they brought that in there. That's cool. Pigeon, thank you so much. We've had a blast.
It was fun.
This is incredible. You have an incredible shop. I love it. It's cozy. But it's got, like, all these look at the colors.
Look
what
at
Fonzo
the colors,
said earlier.
Yeah.
Hey, you coming down from that high?
Yeah.
You all right, Hunter?
I'm
Hunter
okay.
S., you good?
Okay.
And I love, I mean, it just even makes it, like, not only is this cozy shop cool within itself, it makes 4th Street. This is what 4th Street is about. More people need to come down to 4th Street and hang loose. Grab some coffee over there and grab a burrito on the other side.
Yeah.
And everything
no,
in between.
But skate there. Right.
Skate there.
Right?
And if you don't have any, come down to Moxie's right Skate Shop. Exactly. How do we find you on social media? Or how do our listeners find you on social media?
So we're on Instagram at Beach Cities Roller Derby. So and also Moxie Skate Shop. You can go online at moxielongbeach.com, beachcitiesrollerderby.com. And I mean, just go on Facebook or Google it. You know, it's all right there. But what I do want to say is that if anyone out there that's listening is interested in playing roller derby, whether you're, you know, a teenager, whether you're a guy, a girl, like whatever, there's no age limit. There's no requirement. We are always recruiting new skaters. We want to train people to be able to play this sport, but also to join our community because, you know, it vouches for itself, man. It's like, there's nothing like having the support of 100 people all the time, no matter what, you know, and all of the, you know, it's hard skating and it's hard playing a really intense, complex game. But when you do it with 30 to 40 of your best friends, it's just so rewarding.
you know, power is through the masses. And yeah. I think you guys and your mass do a lot of good work and good things for the community. And I think that's incredible. And I think that through the skating, it also helps make people become better versions of themselves.
Exactly.
And I really admire that.
Yeah, totally. Hey, you want to skate? What size are you, like 10?
I'm a, yeah, hey, good call. 9.5. 9.5.
Hey, I have these, what are these, penny loafers?
Oh, yeah. I can, like, dude, my name's like, my. I already know my alias. It's like Mr. Roper. That's my name. From Three's Company. You guys are probably too young to remember that. But Fonz.
Hey, man, it was awesome. Thanks, Walt. The pilot.
Yeah, I know.
Pilot this, 30, dude.
I kind of spoiled it for you because this is the best place on 4th Street. So, you know, here
I
we
got,
go.
I got a derby name for him.
For me?
Yes. Yeah, what a best, what a great way to end the show. What's his derby name?
The Fonza Rolly.
Oh!
I love it.
That's what's up.
I love it. I'm going to go get me a Dodger jersey with that on the back
Fonza
of it.
Fonza Rolly. Fonza Rolly. Yeah, exactly.
That'd be awesome.
Really quick, how did you guys, who made your logo? How did you guys make the logo?
I have this like obsession with sun rays, but my old neighbor, Porter is one of the most best artists that I've ever seen in my life. And he designed the logo for us as a gift to a neighbor of his.
That's cool.
So I'm lucky to have been in the right place at the right time. And, you know, it all just falls into place, you know?
Well, they say great people take advantage of great opportunities. It seems like you have done so.
Yep.
Pigeon, Bucket, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fonzo Rolly.
Dude, Fonzo Rolly. Love it. I'm going to change my Instagram name right now.
There you go.
And you're the Bat Boy.
Oh, the Bat Boy. Alrighty, I'm the I like it. I'll take it. On that note, thanks again, Fonzo.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thanks Alrighty. For coming. I mean, thanks for letting us come. That's great. Good times, man.
We are done. All right. We'll see you guys next show.